G'day, everyone. Just a quick reminder that the contents of our episodes are based on discussions and experience that we have lived here at Elephant Advisory and are not to be taken as financial advice. We suggest any listener always seeks qualified professional advice that's tailored to your specific needs. Now that formality is done with, sit back and enjoy today's episode. Welcome, everyone, to the Elephants on Business podcast, improving our small business journey one episode at a time. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about improving your customer service skills in a small business. Welcome, Oz.
Yep, great to be back.
Now, Oz, obviously, customer service is one of the most important things in business and even more so in small business because, I know, you start off with no customers.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, as you said, you know, we're obviously in professional services. You know, having that customer service skills and, you know, being able to obviously, you know, listen and solve problems for your customers is, you know, probably most of your job anyway. So
at the start, it takes up such a big part of your journey as a small business. And I remember obviously as an employee, you don't appreciate wherever you worked, there was a journey that a customer went through and you were a very small piece in that puzzle. You might have done
The
accounting, or I might have done some finance or some analysis, whatever it might be. But there is this huge journey that you took from knowing the brand, getting to know yourself, getting to know the partner, trickle down to your work and then an outcome. And when you come out in small business, that's nothing.
It's just you. So, like, you know, obviously, as you said, when you're just a little cog in the machine, you know, you don't really appreciate those first couple of steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those things were just handed down to you and, you know, you would just take it from A to B and then pass it over to the next team and they'll go on. So it is a massive learning curve when you start yourself and, you know, you need to start from step one, which is, you know, how do you get the lead in?
Yeah.
And then once the lead has come, you know, how do you
keep them happy in your journey.
And make sure, each time you interact with them, you are keeping them happy along that journey as well.
So, we've got a couple of statistics, but really what we're going to go through is just our six main dot points for how you can improve your customer service journey and or just even maintain it. And the main stat that you want to go off was 70% of customers choose their business that they want to work with based on how they feel in that journey. And the important word, I think, is how they feel, not the outcome, not how long it took, but how the journey made them feel, which is a big learning curve. Because when I started, I was always like, oh, if I get the outcome, people are happy. If I get the outcome, people are happy. But if they don't feel good in the journey, the outcome becomes a bit irrelevant and the only thing they care about.
Yeah. It's like, how have you treated them along that way? You know, like, was it a positive feeling for them? Obviously, that makes a massive difference. And as the stats show, 70%, it's you know, if there's 10 people that come through the door, it's 7 out of 10 that are basing it on, you know, that feeling of how they were treated along that journey. So, I guess going on to that first point, you know, we've got listen to your client and watch their actions, right? So,
that's a big thing.
That's so huge.
What we mean by listen and watch is everyone says, oh, I have to listen to your client. But in small business, when you're chasing a lot of clients, when you have zero, it can be really easy just to forget what the client's saying or not pick up on their nuances. Where sitting down and when you have that first client in front of you, really try and zone everything else out. Zone your problems in the business, zone your cash flow problems, zone your HR problems, zone it all out and sit down with the client in front of you and ask them how they're going, what they need, why they choose you, what are the three top pain points they want to solve. And I think listening to their feedback and actually tailoring it is the most important thing because you might think you know how the process works. You've done it before. You know how it works. But when you're starting fresh, you're attracting clients and you don't know why they're coming to you. And it can be for completely different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. So that active listening part is very crucial where, you know, as you said, you look at the problems and I think, you know, at the start, you always assume, you know, this particular customer or client is coming to me and it's an assumption, oh, I just need to, you know, get this piece of work done. Whereas, you know, as you said, it's probably, you know, listen to their problems and, you know, maybe obviously they need that work done, but there's probably, you know, 10 or 20% of problem solving
around the side.
Around the side as well. Like there might be a little issue that needs a problem, a solve there as well. So, you know, an example of that in accounting is, you know, obviously we do the compliance. So, yep. like, you automatically go, oh, well, they're here for, you know, their GST lodgements, their VAS returns, and I'm going to solve those problems. But there could be issues where
outside
of that, like, you know, how, for example, do they need, you know, a software or, yeah, you know, is there issues with the integration of that software?
Do they need someone just to listen to their business problems and maybe give some tips and advice? And I think that's a perfect example. Same for finance. I started going, people just want a cheap rate.
Yeah.
They want to get this done.
They just want the loan.
And to be honest, they do. They just want a loan. Obviously, they want a cheaper interest rate. Fantastic. But a large part of my discussion now is more around, why are you buying the house? Have you thought about this? What are your problems you're reaching? Why haven't you bought? What's your fear? None of that stuff has to do with the cheap interest rate. That's a byproduct of just, yeah, like, it's my job.
Yes.
But people come to us for all this other stuff, which is kind of helping them through the emotional turmoil of getting a house. And I did not understand that at the start at all. And if you're a business owner out there listening, your clients will have your own journey and the reason they want to get something done rather than just the service you're providing. There could be things outside it. And that's what we mean by actively listening. And when I say watching, it just watch their feedback and their reaction or the turnaround time they come back to you. Just watch all those things. Really document that journey because you can learn tons.
Yeah. And what do you mean by, like, obviously, you know, we're watching their journey and reacting. It's more about, obviously, how quick are they responding to emails or have they gone blank for maybe a couple of days?
Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff, right? Like, you know, at the start, a key example, right? At the start, most people in small business, especially professional services, and I did it, say, go meet the client. Go sit down.
Yeah.
Drive to their house at nighttime. That's what they want. But then more and more, I realized my cohort in my generation, near 40, they don't want you to come to a house at nighttime. Yeah. They love using email. They love booking in time. And I kind of watched how many people said, no, I don't want to meet on the weekend. When I thought, being available was the reason you liked me. And actually, you kind of watch the way they're responding and reacting, or if they're taking too long, maybe you should have just had a Zoom and answered all the questions instead of giving that proposal.
Yes.
There's a lot you can learn by just understanding. John started here. I talked to him. Some time happened. Why did that time happen? Something else happened. And just writing it down, you might see a pattern that emerges that can be changed very quickly.
Yeah, and then you just change your process around that. And change then your process. You can tailor it. Yeah.
So, the next part is, so number two is all about understanding that you might be an expert at something, but your client isn't. And so, accounting, finance, same thing. You know, Oz, you know GST, you know tax, you know corporate BAS, you know all this kind of stuff. Client sits in front of you, you kind of breeze through those things and you don't realize that the client might be going,
what the hell is a BAS? Saying?
What is an entity? What is this? What is that? And so, understanding that clients are coming to you as the expert, but a lot of clients in this day and age want to understand a bit about your expertise so they feel like they're knowledgeable, they feel like they're understanding what's going on. And I think that's a big part of it.
That's a big part of our job as well, Essentially, you know, we try and assume there's very little knowledge on the client side in terms of, you know, I guess, you know, what you just spoke about, like how does an entity work? You know, what is an ABN GST? Why do you do tax returns? Which entities need to do tax returns, et cetera, and really break it down. And sometimes it's just as easy as just drawing on a piece of paper or a whiteboard. Like when we do a Zoom, we probably just do the whiteboard function, or, you know, if we have PowerPoints, like we put some PowerPoint slides together and really break down, you know, why have we gone with this structure? What does that mean for your group and things like that? And I think a lot of clients appreciate that, you know, going back to, I guess, square one, where it's like, we're just going to talk through, you know, the simple, you know, mechanics of, I guess, tax and accounting. And at least then they've got a little bit of background knowledge and it just makes things a lot easier for them to understand moving forward as well.
And I think it's just important to appreciate that some clients don't want to feel dumb. They don't want to ask the question, albeit, you know, by asking the question, they might feel a sense of relief or understanding. So, sometimes preemptively saying, I'm just going to take you through the basics and you might know all this, that's okay, but it's important for me to tick off the basics, can put the client at ease and go, oh, I wouldn't mind a refresh on the basics without feeling like an idiot going, what is stamp duty or what is a BAS? So, really, you know, one and two really comes down to just crafting out a journey and really focusing on that journey in answering a lot of questions for the client.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Number three?
Number three. Now, I find this to be one of the ones that is really hard to manage, which is, no, true, right? Because I'm a general introvert. I'm probably more on the pessimistic side of life when I think about things. That's just my personality. Yeah. Oz is smiling. But being positive in that journey and in your client interactions is so, so important. And I thought positivity meant get up in the morning, be motivated, put on a smiling face. But the reality is, if you like what you do, it's easy to be positive. Yeah. You like what you do.
Yeah.
It's simple. I get up and I talk with confidence. I feel great. I can answer that question. And that was the biggest misconception I had when I started this business. You know, I thought I had to be someone I was not. I had to be wearing a suit. I had to be this. I had to be that. When reality, if you're just who you are, it's very easy to be positive. And if you stay in a lane that you're comfortable with, it's easy to be positive.
And you're attracting the clients that, you know, that fit your mold anyway, in a sense. And then obviously, as you said, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, you enjoy the clients that you're dealing with, I think it's quite easy to just be positive in most circumstances.
And I think about it, right? If I was to ask you a question on business or your other interest, maybe it's fitness, maybe it's cars I know you like. If I was to ask you about your interest, you will generally sit up and go, oh, I'm excited to talk about this, or I've got an idea, or I've read an article, and it just becomes innately enjoyable.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Enjoyable. Now, if you ask me something about, I don't know, aeroplanes or something where I'm not enjoying, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you fizzle out.
I'm like, I don't really care, right? Or a topic that I don't care about, don't fake it. I think staying in your lane makes it very easy to be positive, and that is huge. You don't realize how you answer the phone, how you respond to that email, writing hello, hi, these little things
they go
can deteriorate your customer service when you don't even realize it just because you are getting tired of your own business.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stat here is that 81% of consumers say a positive customer experience increases the chance of them coming back, which is
massive. You know,
repeat and return business is the most profitable.
Yeah, yeah, because it's the easiest as well, you know.
And you've already spent the hard work of whatever it might be getting them to your business, marketing, not marketing, your years of experience in career. It's like if they come and use you 10 times, amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And you already have all the background knowledge for that sale, and it's quite easy to build upon that rather than, you know, trying to chase the new sale and, you know, going through this whole process again. As you said, the repeat customer is super easy to manage and redo, in a sense.
Amazing. So that was number three. Try and be positive, which is all about, I think, enjoying what you do. Number four is always debatable, right? It's about generalist versus specialist. And our opinion is that in this ever-changing world of the internet and there's non-stop stuff in your face and you're getting advertised, specializing in an area can enhance the delivery.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when you specialize in a particular area, like if we were to say, you know, accounting business and we just do tradies, for example, you can, as you said, tailor that particular delivery and service to, you know, that particular market. And then, you know, based on that, you can enhance, obviously, each point. So, each contact point gets enhanced super specific to that client because that's all you do. So, you know, it does make that whole customer service journey a lot nicer to that particular industry.
And you don't realize that. And if you think about, like, niching down or being a specialist, you have to think of it in a multitude of ways. You know, everyone on this earth goes through very similar problems. And niching down can mean going into an industry.
Yeah.
It can also mean going into a size. So, like, when we started off accounting and finance, it was, I'm going to do everyone because, well, shit, I don't have any clients. I'm shit scared.
Yeah, I just need the dollars.
And then you look at businesses that have specialized and say, we're only doing it for medical professionals and all that. And you go, I don't know if I can do that. That's a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But then over time, we've said, well, we are just going to be for small business, which is a massive pool.
Yeah.
It includes all services, but it is kind of like, I don't know, I'm niching down from a size point of view because, well, I'm a small business. I know the problems of small businesses. That's a cool conversation. Yeah. I will be positive because I'm like, oh, I had that problem too.
That's right.
So specializing doesn't mean you have to cut off all these industries and cut off revenue streams. It's just more realizing that if you're focused in an area, it can make the delivery of a consistent product easier. Number five.
Yeah, number five.
Communication. So communicate your process, your milestone, and keep people up to date on how they're going with it. Huge, right?
Yeah, that's very big, especially in our industry. You know, like if you've got a client, a new client, they've come to you with a problem where they haven't lodged, let's say, a couple of years of returns. It's nice to obviously keep them up to date. Like, you know, this is what we've done so far. Yep. You know, even just a quick email or a phone call just to let them know, like, these are the stages that we've ticked off and we're at X percentage of the work getting complete. Huge, and we anticipate, you know, we finished, you know, at next week or the week after or something like that. So, I think that's very important, communication, in terms of that milestone piece. Just because whenever you seek out a service, you know, As a customer, you also, or a client, you also like that feedback as well.
Of course.
I enjoy that when I'm a particular client or customer, like, you know, getting up regular updates in terms of this is where we're sort of sitting.
How frustrating is it when you drop the car off to the mechanic?
And it's just blank.
I'll see you soon. And you're like, oh, okay. Or the mechanic goes, listen, I don't know. I'll give you an update on Friday and then I'll give you a timeline. And then if the timeline blows out, I'll let you know. That's way more than, hey, mate, cool, I'll just give you a buzz. Because you go home and go, oh, okay, and you're like, a buzz when it's broken, a buzz when it's done, a buzz when it's exploded. What do? You can't plan your life around it. And I think it's really important to match this journey and forget, if you think of the other things we talked about, it's like you are the expert. You might not realize that. You might just go, oh, yeah, I'm just doing this process in my head. I know how to do a task return. I know how to do finance. It's just boom, boom, done.
Yeah.
But the client has no idea. And so they want to know that it's progressing in a positive manner. I akin this communication and process to social media a lot. And I think, you know, fitness influencers do it unbelievably. You know, talking about losing weight is just like the outcome. But showing you someone's journey to lose weight is huge, right? You buy into that. It's the same method if you're helping someone buy a house or helping them procure a car or helping them do something. Getting them to buy into the journey, like you're hand-holding them, is extraordinarily profitable as a business owner because you buy into every element. You see all the in and outs and you feel like I can never go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And the last one, so number six, obviously is very simple, but it's hard to put in practice right time. It's just be human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People deal with people. People don't deal with robots. People don't deal with an email. People don't deal with anything, but they want to know they can pick up and have a phone call and understand what's going on.
Yeah. The worst thing sometimes is, you know, let's say you've got a problem with your internet or your mobile and you log into
chat.
Optus and then there's a chat bot and you're like, you know, trying to get what's this issue?
Death. And then you're trying to just get to it. Oh, okay.
And then you get frustrated at the end and then it goes to a human anyway and then you're still sitting in line and waiting and it's just like, man, like the whole process was just drawn out for no reason.
And that's a perfect example because once you pass the chatbot, you're so angry, you want to kill the poor human and you feel bad. It's just like, man, if you just chatted to me like a normal person at the start or even said, hi, I'm a real human, I'm sorry, it's a 30-minute wait, I feel better than, hi, is this your problem? Is this your problem?
Yeah, and then you're going, like, yes, far out.
No, it's not. But
I get super frustrated at that whole process when it's like that. Obviously, picking up the phone and calling someone and then that particular person dealing with your problem, it's a much nicer experience. And I think, you know, yes, technology is great and you try and automate a lot of these processes, but
there has to be a human element for most small businesses. People are coming for you, your idea, your vision, and talking to you is very profitable. At the start, it might not be profitable for you because you're like, oh, I'm taking all these calls. But the goodwill it brings, then you can get a bit stricter over time about how people access you or how people access your team. But it's really important to acknowledge that talking to your client and asking them how they're going is – the greatest source of business information you can imagine for your small business.
Yeah, and look, according to that study, there's 75% of consumers will still choose to interact with a real person even as technology automation solutions progress.
And if you ask me 75% is huge. If you asked me 6 years ago when I started this business, I would have gone, technology is going to ruin financial services. It's going to come in and all these AIs are going to come and like banks release digital products all the time. It's a shit show.
Yeah, like is it
– log in and it's just like, what's this question? I'm like, I'm not answering this. What's the point? I just talk to someone.
Yeah, that's a very good example as well. Like, would you log into a bank and go through a bot scenario and upload your documents and
for certain things, yes, but for the majority, if there is an option for just like, I just talk to someone.
Yeah.
I talk to someone any day of the week.
Because it comes back down to those other couple of points. Like, obviously the journey is to solve that particular problem, but there is always things off to the side that, you know, a customer will ask a question about, you know, something else and, you know, maybe wants a referral in your business to a conveyancer or, you know, in our particular business, it's like, oh, do you actually know a financial planner or someone? You can't do that with one scenario.
And if you go through all these six things, a digital bot can't make you feel like you're being listened to.
Yeah.
It can't make you feel positive. A digital bot is talking about an outcome. It's not really guiding you through this nice process. And I think for small business owners, if I was to do my time again, I would have probably sat back and mapped out my customer journey instead of just running for clients and figuring it out, because that's a more slower, painful process. Yeah. But for anyone listening out there, if you have time, sit back, look at your last 10 clients and go, was it consistent? Was I positive? Could I have done anything better? Why didn't they come back? And if you analyze even just the last 10 interactions, you will learn a massive amount. And probably there's lots of hidden customer service gems in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Well, thank you again for listening in. We'll be back next week with more episodes. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, and probably all over the internet. Thanks again, Oz. Yep, thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.